Welcome to Season 5, Episode 19 of the Zebra Before and After Podcast. I'm your host, Lane Ball. Have you guys found it financially beneficial for you as a business?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say
the not same really.
Thing. Probably not.
You either pick it because you love it yourself and you think other people are going to love it, or you pick it because you can see that there is a market for it and you can visualize other people having this certain something in their home.
We have a great panel discussion for you today among the June featured judge and winners of the Zebra Review. We are discussing the fun and challenges of refinishing unusual pieces. Cindy with Cindy's Painted Brush shares a great tip on what to do before you send your pieces off to their new home. We hear from several refinishing friends on what they are working on this week in their studios. Stay with us, friends. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Categories help us define different styles of furniture since, frankly, there are so many. There are the more common categories of furniture like buffets, hutches, dressers, and then there are all of those unique types of pieces that really don't fall in a category. Well, today's podcast is all about those this and that's, that's what we're calling them, that is comprised of all of those pieces, most are smaller, but are still worthy to be discussed and highlighted. We are honored to have Katie Cloud of Katie Company and Home here with us today to interview the winners of the June Zebra Review of This and That. She was our June featured judge. Katie will share what stood out to her about each of the winners' pieces, and then we'll have a panel discussion on the fun and challenges of refinishing the This and That. But before we do that, we are going to say hello to our June featured judge, Katie Cloud. Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good, Lane. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Listen, I know you have so many friends in the community, and everyone has enjoyed watching you set the trends in furniture refinishing over the years, build and run your own successful candle-making business, run an Airbnb, organize the Made and Found Midwest Market, which is coming up, I believe, in September, and just recently moved into your new home. That is a lot of stuff that you are involved in. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, most days. I feel like every 3 months or so, there's a day where I just kind of have to just take a day.
Yeah, and I know we all follow each other on Instagram, and I know you're wise in this. You take vacations periodically, which is really important to make sure you get away and sort of reset.
Definitely try to do that.
Yes.
Need a good reset every once in a while.
Right. Probably more often than not with that many things going on. Have you been enjoying your new home?
Yes. It's pretty much complete. We just need to do some stuff in our basement, but it's we're living in it and it's great. So lots of just little decorating things to do, but our main thing was just to get in there. So
what's your favorite room?
Oh, probably the kitchen. I love to cook and entertain. So I made sure when we kind of did our blueprints and our plans to have a hefty sized island and just a good sized kitchen with my splurge would have been my stove because, like I said, I love to cook. So definitely the kitchen. If we're talking about outside too, the front porch. We sit outside a lot when it's not crazy hot. So.
Yeah. So, and in your candle making business, you did a lot of this when you first started in your kitchen, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually did. Yep. I started in my kitchen and then, as it got kind of crazy and overwhelming there, I moved it. Our property had the original farmhouse on it still. I can't remember what the date it was, but someone had just tinned over it and kind of like tried to save it and preserve it. And so we just kind of built it into a little candle studio and just had like a little kitchen and a bathroom and then like a main area so that way I could get out of the house and like kind of step away from work every once in a while. So I would do it in there. And then since then we've moved to a building in my hometown. Oh, what was that? Maybe 3 years ago now. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's been long. So yeah, we have more space and which meant growing and which is all good.
So when, you know, talking about your new home, how would you describe your style, your design style?
Just crazy everywhere. And I feel like my mind is so like impulsive. I'm always changing things and rearranging furniture and adding new things. I've saved things, you know, for a long time because I knew this day would come where we would build a house. Well, that was, you know, I started saving furniture pieces and just special things 7 years ago. And then there's some things now that I'm like, oh, I don't like this anymore. This isn't my style anymore. But I would say overall, very eclectic. So I have a lot of vintage and antique stuff, and then modern stuff thrown in there too, and just kind of all over the place. I feel like I was more into kind of like an old school chippy farmhouse, and now it's kind of gravitated toward a rustic modern type farmhouse, antique vintage. So
yeah,
it's that could change any day.
I think that's true for all the trends, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing how it's funny when you think back, even with respect to refinishing, and you look back like 2-3 years back, and what was so popular then is not so popular today. It's not that those styles are out. It's just the overall
trends
general. Yeah, they really do. So it's neat. I think at least every picture I've seen on Instagram of your home, I think every section of your home could be a staging wall. So I think you've done an excellent job. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, we have good wall space. I only took pictures of the good parts. There's still parts that are just crazy, disastrous messes. So yeah, don't think it's that pretty all the time everywhere, because it's definitely not.
Well, you were talking about the front porch, enjoying the front porch when the weather's good. So I'm gonna dive right in and find out from you what is the weather like? What's the summer been like in Iowa?
You know, I feel like we've had a really good mild summer. It hasn't been usually in Iowa. It's so humid and sticky and hot, July, August especially. But we've had a pretty mild summer. We're in a drought still. We've been in one, I feel like, for like 3 years. It's so dry. So any chance of rain, any little speck of rain, we're just like, hallelujah, but it's not been enough. So we're so dry. And then just this, I think we had like one really hot week in July, like upper 90s, a little humid. And now just this week, it has been so bad. I think yesterday was 103, feels like 109. So humid today. Right now, I think it's 89, I think, when I last looked, and I think the feel like temperature is like 103, just really muggy and humid. So hopefully that brings us a good storm, but I don't know. It doesn't look so good. So, but by the weekend, it's supposed to cool back down to, you know, 80, 85. So, but we expect it to be hot August for sure.
Yeah, I think you guys have us beat, because I'm always talking about on the podcast about how humid North Carolina is, and especially this time. August is really, really our hot month and high humidity month. And I saw on the forecast for Friday, 96 degrees, 97 degrees, and I'm sure the high humidity will be with that. It's interesting because yesterday was hot and humid. Tomorrow's supposed to kick back in, but today we got a little bit of a break. It's in the 80s. And it's so nice because the humidity has dropped. So it's very pleasant. It's like you're trying to just like bask in the weather, you know, when it gets like this. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I'll go ahead and remind everyone of our winners and introduce them. So our first place went to Michelle with Indie Blue Co. And second place went to Amy with Panolo Designs. And third place went to Kat with Upit Designs. Amazing job by all three of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, congrats.
Well, we're going to spend the majority of our time in what we traditionally call here on the podcast as a panel discussion. And since the theme for June was this and that, our topic will be risks and fun with refinishing unique and or unusual pieces of furniture. But before we do that, I want to hear the weather in each of our winners' locations. And then Katie's going to share what drew her to each of your pieces, and then we'll have our panel discussion. So let's go west, and let's find out what the weather's like for Michelle in California. Why don't you give us a weather report, Michelle?
Well, I'm complaining about it has been humid here the last couple of days, but that's nothing in comparing to you guys. yeah, it's, you know, low 80s at the moment, which is actually pretty warm because we ride by the marina on the other side of the bay outside San Francisco. But it's lovely right now. Like for me, it's a little too humid, but that's very rare because we always have that ocean breeze going on. But yeah, I'm not complaining. It's good weather for painting and, you know, working on furniture outside.
Now we're going to go north, over to Amy in Minnesota. Are you going to give us a heat report Amy, in the land of the lakes?
Yes, because it is very, very hot here too. I said as cold as we get in the winters, we can get equally hot. So it is 98 degrees right now in Minneapolis, but it feels like 108 right now. Yeah.
And I guess it's probably pretty humid up there too with all those lakes.
Very humid. Yeah, very humid. I wanted our dew point, which kind of sets the humidity. It's saying right now like 76. So very tropical right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like I've said this before, but it's like my wife has always said, you can tell it's humid when your paper doesn't crumple. You know, just sort of your paper. She's a school teacher, so her paper just feels wet.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a huge leap over to the UK and find out how Kat's doing with the weather.
Hi. Well, crazy hot is not really a concept we understand over here in England. I'm down on the southeast coast, so it is fairly dry, but our temperature today is 23 degrees, which is 73 Fahrenheit. So, and that was a nice day for us.
Man, that is super nice.
That sounds lovely.
and then tomorrow we're having a rainstorm, so kind of summer hasn't really arrived this year. It came in late spring, but since then we've just had rain, a bit more rain, and I think summer arrived last Thursday and apparently is only staying a week.
Oh my goodness. Oh man, we'll soak it up.
Yeah, Kat.
My goodness. Well, that's great. I love it when we get forecasts that are different. You know, we can kind of cool off when those of us that are in the heat and humidity, and we hear those forecasts, it's like, oh well, I'm glad somebody's enjoying the weather, so we're happy, especially for Michelle and Kat. All right. So, Katie, I'm going to turn it over to you and allow you some time to just share a little bit about what you like so much about the winner's pieces.
Okay. First place, Michelle. I love anything green, so I'm always attracted to anything green. Also, there was coffee in this picture, and I love coffee. Now, that's not why I chose this as one of the pieces, but this piece is so unique. I've never seen a piece quite like it. I was like, gosh, I wonder if she like assembled legs onto this and like made this, or if this is how she got it. But I think it's so cute, like the cabinet with the tiny cabinet and then the shelf and the way you decorated it and staged it. Like that's like, I would have used it for the same thing. Like I said, I love coffee, but it just made sense for it to be a little coffee bar like that. So I loved that. And I loved how the knobs kind of went with the legs too. They match.
Thank you. It was actually interesting because I definitely like unique pieces, you know, like things that you walk in somebody's house and say, oh, now that's cool. You know, I've never seen that before, like you said. And it's funny because they always say, well, how do you choose a piece? I think the piece chose me because we have this huge, my kids call it a junkyard, but it's actually a big donation yard and warehouse. So I was walking through there and I saw this little thing sitting there looking at me like, please get me, you know, you see, I have no legs. My door is hanging out. I'm just worn out. But I think it's a piece from the 40s because it has those curves, you know, that gives that Art Deco vibe.
Yeah, the rounded corner.
And it was miserable. I mean, it was like that kind of not faded, but orangey oak varnish kind of thing. And I don't know if, I mean, I did post a before picture too. So I was like, oh, that's kind of neat, you know. It would be a cool bedside table. But then, so I took it home for like literally a couple of dollars because they just want the stuff gone, right? And then I was like, oh gosh, you know, shall I just do like just wood because I am in a kind of the natural wood trend right now. But then I was like, you know what? No, it needs something fresh. And, you know, I think like you, everybody loves green. And, you know, that kind of minty green always gives that kind of retro vibe. And it's always a fresh color. So then I started on it and I knew I needed legs for sure. And here around San Francisco, I don't know what it is, but if you have tapered legs on something, it will go, you know. So it's still very much trend here of the mid-century stuff and everything. And then I started on it, and then I was like, you know, I don't know, for some reason I got this idea of, you know, bringing it up. And I always like to make a piece that can work for different purposes. Like it could go in a hallway, or it could be in a bathroom, or, but then I was like, you know what? It has to be a coffee station when I stage it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people here live in small spaces, and, you know, they don't have a lot of kitchen storage space. And, you know, people like you as well, everybody loves coffee or chai or whatever is in right now, matcha. And so I was like, oh, you know, I think that would be really cool. I would put it in my house. And honestly, I have no wall space whatsoever. So if you look at my Instagram, a lot of my pieces are posted outside by a concrete wall because I have no space. So I had to just kind of squeeze it in that corner. So it was funny when you said, oh, I love it, how the staging was. I'm like, okay, I had it sitting there, like basically where I would probably put it for myself because I have no space. But yeah, that's a little bit story of how I found it and choose for it, I guess.
That's a unique, fun piece. Well,
yeah, thank you. I thought it was good too. But I never thought I was going to win something with it. So.
Oh, that's a good surprise. Okay, and then second place was Amy, and I love this bench. I want it for my house, and I love the color. It's like I don't know if I would say, is it like a, it's like a a rusty, like mauve kind of color? I can't remember. I thought I read what color it was.
It is. It's called Mojave Brown. It's very, like, it reminds me of a lot of like a color you'd see in the Southwest, like in New Mexico, like very adobe. It's got some rusty reddish, pinkish terracotta undertones to it.
That's so pretty. And it, what would you, I guess I wouldn't know for sure. But like when I look at it, I think like East Lake, the style of it. But I was like, gosh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, I think when I first saw it too, I said East Lake style settee. It was kind of my initial thoughts too, that it was East Lake.
How did you pick what color fabric that you wanted to use for that? I'm so bad at that. Like everyone's like, oh, this design. I'm like, that took me 13 years to figure out. Like I could never pick like a color. I don't know. Like it just all complements it so well.
Oh, thank you.
Like I would never think to put the black either with that. And then your pictures and it all just ties together so good for the staging.
Thank you. I kind of fell upon, like the color was chosen for me because this was part of a project where Melange sent us a surprise color and asked us to do something with it. And so then I received this Mojave Brown and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, A, it's kind of out of my comfort zone. B, it's reminding me of the desert Southwest and I'm up here in the tundra. Like, is this color gonna like appeal to anybody in Minnesota? And so I thought like if I just put it on a dresser or put it on a table, like it might just look too Southwest. And I wanted to try and create something that the first idea somebody would say would not be like, oh, that's the desert Southwest. You know, that's for somewhere down in the Southwest. And so I came across this little settee and I thought, okay, I think I could see this on this settee and maybe it'll appeal to somebody like for their lake house cabin or for on their front porch or, you know, something here in Minnesota. And then when I struggled at first to find the fabric, and then one day I was at a fabric store that I hadn't been to in quite a while. And all of a sudden there it was. And I right away, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the fabric. It matches the color perfectly. And then I loved that it had the black stripe. And I love that it had a lot of the neutral off-white to kind of balance out that color of paint. And so it kind of then just fell together.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
I have a little spot in our house too that I'm like, I just need like a little space for
like just where your shoes go and you can take them off, and I need a hall tree or I need one of these little benches. And then this was a couple of months ago when I was looking at these, I'm like, I need a bench like that. I wonder if she's selling it. Did you sell it?
Well, no, I still have it. It has not sold. So
I feel like you're only probably 4 hours from me.
Probably. I could always make a trip and bring it to you.
Oh, it's so pretty. Love it.
We probably could.
Yeah. And you guys could just meet halfway.
Like, halfway. Go to like Okoboji.
Yeah.
Making a deal right here on the podcast. I love
it. Thank you, Katie. I'm glad you like it.
Yes. Okay. And then third, we had Kat and this super interesting, I believe it. You said it was a fishing like tackle box, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a little wooden framed tackle box with a seat on the top, which
I've never seen anything like that.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? We were at a
so you can sit while you fish.
Exactly, but in its new life, it's a portable cocktail cabinet.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the kind of the bottom section has enough space for your liquor and your spirits and glasses and maybe a picnic blanket or something, and then there are little sections above. So the first section is deep enough to put a limes and lemons, things like that. Then the next section you can put your bottle openers and stirrers, and the top section you put napkins and things. So as a fishing tackle box, it's where we'd put all your tackle and your bait and all that kind of stuff, but hopefully in its new life it will have something far more sophisticated inside.
Yeah, it looks like it should be made for something, not rather than fishing tackle, but like I like how you transitioned it and changed it into the spirits, you know, instead of the tackle bar.
Well, I'm thinking kind of, you know, a festival day or a trip to, I don't know, even the park or something really, or a cricket game or something. You just take all your supplies with you, hunker down and you don't have to move for anything because you've got it all with you.
No. Yeah, it's like a little picnic ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So was it all wood, like even the sides where you had painted it black?
Yes. Yeah. So that's just a relatively thin ply, and it has the wooden frame. Yeah. And then on the top, it has that vinyl. It was a kind of ripped vinyl top, but I've managed to replace that with some faux leather. So it looks a bit better now.
And then the strap, and I can't remember if the strap was on there. You added the strap to it.
The strap was there originally, but it was just a plain, rather grubby looking kind of a black strap. And I thought I'd just jazz it up with the yellow and black stripe, which just kind of gives it a little bit more of a point of reference, just to make it look a bit more funky, really.
Gives it a little more statement, which is like our Iowa Hawkeyes colors for our,
oh really?
Yeah.
Inside knowledge. Okay.
It looks like it could go to an Iowa Hawkeye football game with me.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're allowed to take liquids in. Many places they search your bags these days. I know they do for festivals.
Yeah, you gotta stay in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so neat. So neat. We grew up fishing, have my grandparents fishing, so that I'd never seen anything like it.
No, it is very unusual. Yeah, very unusual.
In a good way.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from a friend of our sponsor.
Hi, this is Anne Michelle with Amini Design Ashburn, and this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. I love Zebra paintbrushes. They have a specific brush for every type of project you're doing, whether it's walls, furniture, detail work, or flat surfaces, Zebra has you covered. My favorite Zebra paintbrush has to be the Palm Pro. I love the size of the handle, and I love the ease in which it lets you get into areas you might not otherwise be able to reach with a long-handled brush. Whenever I use my Zebra Palm Pro, I am always amazed at the perfect amount of paint that it picks up and puts down on the surface. There's no drips. There's no brush strokes. I love my Zebra brushes.
Thank you so much, Anne Michelle, for sharing about your experience with Zebra paintbrushes. Thanks Thanks, Katie, and all of you for sharing about your unique pieces. Well, most of the time when you look at the community's feeds, you see buffets, nightstands, desks, hutches, etc. But what we saw for June was all of those interesting pieces that don't really have a category. Well, today we're going to have a non-scripted discussion on risks and the fun involved in choosing a really unique piece to finish. And I've got a springboard question for you all. Do you all find yourselves drawn to these unique pieces to refinish more than the traditional, or were these pieces out of your comfort zones?
To me, I am definitely drawn to it. I mean, we all have our things, and I see the most beautiful traditional pieces, like you said, buffets and everything. And that's great. Well, first of all, I think you need to have the space for it. Not everybody has a lot of space for those big pieces to store and to work on. And like I said here, people around San Francisco are most of the time living a little smaller. So for me, I definitely like to do smaller pieces. And I definitely always wanted to have pieces that you can say, oh, that's so Michelle, or it's such a cool piece. Where did you get this? Or a conversational piece, I would say. I'm definitely drawn to it. I see the most random things even falling apart, laying on the street sometimes, or in, like I said, in junk treasure yards. And it's just like, oh gosh, what could I do with it? You know, do something totally different than finding the traditional buffet and, you know, just restoring it as a buffet, which is great too. Because I see, especially nowadays, I think furniture refinishers are really, stepping it up, like turning pieces in something totally different that I don't even start at. You know, I will do some funky colors maybe, or, you know, just find funky pieces. But it's definitely in my comfort zone to do like some bold, unique things. Like I have, for example, to give you two other examples, this old radio that I found at that same junkyard. And I think it was a record player, little cabinet, and it was all emptied out already. So I painted it and stripped the ugly varnish and everything. Again, put the tapered legs on, which is the trick, and painted it with blues and stuff. And it's the coolest nightstand table, or like an old sewing machine, you know, those antique ones with the metal pedals on. I painted that in like a bright turmeric yellow, and it actually has a sewing machine on it right now, but I'm going to use it when I redo my bedroom, actually as a bedside table as well. You know, just these things that you can, or like the antique Bart carts, you know, with the wheels, the wooden wheels, and do something funky with it. And I think they are the coolest little mini bars, you know. So I have done quite a few of those. And believe it or not, you know, it goes. Because, you know, for every piece, there is somebody or the right person, I think, you know. Like for every pot, there is a lid, you know.
Yeah. And like you said, you guys, you live in smaller spaces. Mm-hmm. So those little pieces can really help out with your storage and just making a space for things where,
right,
you know, you don't have all the wall space, little areas of storage.
Right. And like we were saying earlier, you can use them for different things, because it's not because I stage it as a coffee station. It's like Kat was saying, you know, it could be like a little mini bar, or it could be in your bathroom for, you know, your towels and your little cosmetic products, or, you know, which I do definitely like a lot.
What about the rest of you, Amy, Kat?
My piece, I completely stepped out of my comfort zone on that one. from the paint color.
It doesn't look like it. Can we just say it doesn't look like you stepped out of your comfort zone?
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. But it really was. I've never done anything like that piece ever in my, like the upholstery. And I had to, when I purchased it, I knew it was old. And so I had a feeling when I took off the fabric that I was probably dealing with a lot of the original stuffing. And of course, it was filled with horse hair and hay. And so I had to basically take it down to its bones and start from scratch with all of the filling. And I've never done that before. And I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh, what in the world did I just get myself into? but yet I do love a good challenge. So it ended up being kind of a fun way to challenge myself. And I watched a lot of YouTube videos and did a lot of research on like what kind of foam do I use? What kind of batting? What kind of this? What kind of that? And just, you know, kind of did it as I went. And I love how it turned out. And I'm so happy with it. And I'm so glad I challenged myself with it. But it may be a while before I do anything like it again.
I'm usually a sideboard chest of drawers kind of gal. I don't often push myself out of my comfort zone, but I think every now and then I get the itch to do something different and repurpose something like a fishing tackle box into a cocktail cabinet or a portable cocktail cabinet is kind of, I saw it and I thought I can do something with this. And I've done a few before. I've taken woodworkers' wooden carry cases and I've sort of chopped them in half and I've made those into portable cocktail cabinets, which have sold before. So every now and then I kind of get that itch to be some kind of wood craftsman or something. And then I try it and then I realize why I don't do that every week, because it's really difficult. And actually sometimes painting a chest of drawers or a sideboard or something is far easier and often more fulfilling, both in terms of revenue and time management.
Did you guys find that doing something a little unusual, even though what I'm hearing from you guys is there's certainly a stress level involved because you're stepping out of your comfort zone. However, did you find it refreshing? Because refinishing is hard work. No matter what it is you're refinishing, whether it's something big or really sometimes small pieces can be difficult too. But did you find that it was a good break from what you traditionally refinish?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think there's something to be said about stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something you haven't done before and then proving to yourself, yep, I can do that. You know, whether you choose to do it again or not. But I got a lot of satisfaction out of doing that piece and taking that risk. And then realizing, okay, yep, you know, it took a lot of time and it took a lot of problem solving, but you did it. And I'm proud of it. Yeah.
I think also, you know, if you've been doing this for a long time, if you do the same kind of furniture all the time, it just becomes kind of boring, like every other job. So, I mean, I really swap from the most different styles from one thing to another, whatever I can or feel like the piece is meant to be. And I go from classic, you know, pieces to like, oh, I don't know, to anything and everything. But I think it's definitely really fun if you can just mix it up.
I think also if you don't give yourself a break and try something different, then I think you can stagnate almost. And and you're not going to be moving with the trends. So I think sometimes to give yourself a break by doing something really crazy or something that's out of your comfort zone, it almost gives you a reset. And then you think, right, next project, I might incorporate not all of that last project that I've just done, but maybe a little bit or right. Just kind of looking at different colors or fabrics like Amy has, you know. And I think it just gives you a refresh as a creative person, really.
Sure, for sure.
Well, have you guys ever taken on a unique piece that you started and didn't finish, maybe because of the time involved that you didn't sort of estimate properly, or that you just were like, I am just sick of this. I don't like the way this is going. So I'm going to shelf
all
it.
All the time. You should, if my husband hears this, we are arguing about our garage all the time, because I do, like, you know, I find these pieces and then I have a vision for it. And then of course it's just so much more work involved. And then I move on. In the meanwhile, I find something easier or something that I know, okay, that can go in a couple of days. And yeah, I have a garage full of these projects for sure. But I have visions, and as long as I have a vision, it will stay there unless he throws it out.
That's very important. Katie, I have to ask you this because, and I think most of you guys know this, Katie, it's interesting with Katie because I think Katie probably started refinishing when she was 10 or 12 years old because Katie is still very young. And so I sometimes hesitate saying this because it makes it sound like she's much older than what she is. But Katie has been refinishing for quite some time and has really been a trendsetter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember when we really first started getting into the community and doing what we could to help build the community, Katie was like, she was out there and she was doing things that a lot of other people weren't doing at the time. And it was one of those situations, which obviously makes sense as a trendsetter, where you do something and people are like, oh, that is really cool. I'm going to do that. So Katie, my question is this, and this is a little bit off topic, but you have so much going on and you at one time were pumping out so many different pieces of furniture. I'm just curious, like, are you making room to dive back in, or are you just kind of, because I know you've done a few pieces for your shop and for your home. What's on the agenda for you with respect to refinishing furniture?
I definitely I want to get back into it. I probably will never be at the point where I was, where I was finishing, you know, I would do maybe a couple, sometimes three pieces a week, just depending on what needed to be done to it.
Wow. Incredible. How'd you get your hands dry?
I can't even imagine. I struggle getting one done a month.
That was my full-time job. That's how I made my living and paid, you know, for Hazel and I. And I had a lot of commissioned work. So when I do, it won't be as busy. I won't take on as much or any commission work. I know commission work it's nice because it's like, it's guaranteed and it's there, but it was so overwhelming almost. And kind of, you just, I don't know. It's just a lot. You guys probably know. When I could do my own thing, when I felt like it, when I wanted to and choose the color I wanted to and decide if I wanted to strip it or if I wanted to paint it, that was just so much more relaxing. I think I got to the point too, toward the end where I was like, I'm ready for this break that I'm about to get because I was so stressed out. And I do, I miss it, miss it. And my husband is, he'll never tell me what to do. He'll never say I can't. He is not that man. But he says, Katie, you have a Morton building full of pieces waiting for you. Why are we going to pick this thing up today? So I promised him only,
just a friendly reminder.
Only very unique pieces, you know, that I know I can't live without. Other than that, I see so many pieces go that I'm like, oh, dang it. Like, that one didn't even need any Bondo. Like, I could have bought that and done it and had it done this week. But no, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row and just we're finishing some more projects and working on my storefront and doing that. And then once we kind of can breathe, I have to get serious about delegating and, you know, hiring some help and getting some people in here with me with my candle business so that way I can get back to doing the furniture restorations. I think it'll be a little different than what it was, maybe because my style has changed too. And just with time that I don't have like I used to, I feel like I'm going to be a lot more of a shop where you can come to me and buy your paint and buy the piece and take it home. Since I have so many pieces that need, you know, the love and TLC and I just, every time I go in there, I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know where to start. But I think I'm going to be offering, you know, my pieces that I've been collecting for many years that have been waiting also up for grabs for people. And then I'll just kind of do things as I can to have in my shop and sell. So definitely miss it. And I have to refuel that part of my soul every once in a while. And I'll just grab something. And I just did a few weeks ago, I just painted a little cabinet really quick for our bathroom, and I'll just do something little like that. I just don't like cleaning up all the mess that creates that. Okay, every time I'm done, I'm like, put all my stuff away. Don't soak your paintbrushes. Wash them out. Do all this. I think I'm so satisfied and done with the project that I just throw everything. And I'm like, I don't care about my sander and sandpaper and all the stuff. Like, I'm just done. So
that sounds like me.
I plan on it. Plan on getting back there someday, just not as much as I used to. And yep, I don't know if there's any new trends to even kind of come up with or start anymore. I feel like there's always different things, but I'm like, gosh, what's the next thing? What could I do different? And it's just really hard to think of anything, you know, right now that you could bring to the table that would be different than anybody. The internet, you know, there's so many things and you can see it.
Yeah, but there always is. I mean, everything is, even things that are cyclical, you know, kind of come back around, but maybe they come back around with a little bit of a different twist.
Yeah.
And so it will definitely be interesting to see what you do. Hey, you know, maybe commit to, you said you were doing 2 or 3 a week, maybe commit at least to one a month.
And I can probably do that.
And then we can see what you come up with.
Especially now that school has started. I feel like I get a little more organized. Even, you know, summer is chaotic and fun and I love it, but I feel like it is nice to get back in the swing of things. I get a little more organized myself. And so I'm like, maybe this with school starting, I'll be able to do a couple things.
Well, I think that's what's exciting about being a furniture refinisher is because obviously you're an artist, you know, all of you are. And when I look at each one of your pieces, and I look at your accounts, at what you produced, I mean, really, you all are trendsetters, right? I mean, because you're exploring the different types of styles of pieces, and you're taking maybe an old piece and you're taking it back to its original state, or you're taking an old piece and bringing it up to the new century, right? And you're using different types of paints, and you're using the fabrics like Amy Incorporated, and it's really fun to see what comes out of your minds, your creative minds, as time moves forward. You know, the last question that I have for you, because, you know, there's always people out there that are listening and they're going, you know, maybe, you know, I love doing my buffets. I love doing my hutches or whatever category that you specialize in. But I think I would like to take a bit of a break. And I think I would like to look for something a little unique, and maybe it's smaller in size, maybe it wouldn't take as long to refinish or not. But is it worth my time financially? And I know this is a really probably tough question to ask because it really depends on each piece. But have you guys all found that it's beneficial from a financial standpoint to step outside of the traditional pieces and into, you know, another maybe phrase that we could call this category would be eclectic, right? Something that's just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Have you guys found it financially beneficial for you as a business?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Not really. No. I think it's a fairly niche market. I think if you're going to pick a unique piece, you really need to see, you either pick it because you love it yourself and you think other people are going to love it, or you pick it because you can see that there is a market for it and you can visualize other people having this certain something in their home. I think if you only stick to the crazy pieces, the unique pieces, the slightly quirky pieces, then I think you're going to need some storage space. Customers are definitely there. I think the customers are definitely there. It's just going to take longer to get to them.
Yeah. I said there's always a buyer out there for your piece. And that's what I keep telling myself. And I knew when I decided to do this settee that it will take the right buyer at the right time. And I had a feeling that this might be one. And I was okay with it going into it, knowing that this just may sit for a while until the right buyer comes along. And like for me too, I guess when I went into it, I had no idea the cost of foam and batting. So I ended up putting in a lot more money into this piece than I ever thought I would have to. And whether I'll even get a return on it, I don't know. But that being said, I'm still glad I did it.
And you've learned skills which you can apply.
Yes.
In future. So it was almost a learning process. So
right.
Yeah.
And if it sits here in my house for the rest of its life, then it sits here in my house and I'm fine with that. But
Amy, I think you could really say, and I think this makes sense, that you really are having to sit on that piece.
Yes, no pun intended, Huntley.
<That's right. laughs> Well, it is it's a beautiful piece. I'm sure you don't mind having it in your home, even if it ends up being there a little bit longer than you anticipated. I think, you know, it's funny because Kat immediately answered that question. I mean, there was no hesitation. So, you know, we're all about honesty and transparency here. We're all about like, hey, let's just put it out there. But I think obviously the benefits is what you guys are already saying, that you're stepping into a different area. You're picking up new talents and it gives you that break. And then I think also, I know Michelle agreed as well that sometimes you have to plan to sit on a piece for a while. But also Michelle's in a market that probably these types of things sell faster. So it really depends on your market as well. Yeah. So something to consider.
I definitely think it depends on where you live, where you work from, for sure. Like I said, San Francisco and area is very hip. A lot of young hipsters, and they just like unusual things. To respond on Kat's thing, I do think reupholstering is very time consuming. I have done like 100-year-old settees and stuff myself over the years. And I am not a professional reupholsterer, so it definitely takes time and learning the skill. And
even the tools, the cost of needing the certain tools to do it too. You know,
like the long needles and
and the electric staple
guns. It's very expensive.
And, so I went into it a little bit more blind than I probably should have, but
sometimes you have these things too, especially with unique pieces. You pick something and then you have somebody, oh, I love that, but could you change the fabric? Or, you know, which drives me nuts. Yeah. I forgot which piece it was, but I had a piece and, it was actually a mid-century piece, but, you know, most pieces we do have damage and everything. So, right. So it's not just, I just restore the veneer or something. So usually the reason we paint is often because, you know, there were damages before and you had to bundle or whatever it was you had to restore. And so I did this mid-century piece and I painted in a very unique color. I think the frame, it was only the frame. So I had somebody like, oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful piece. But can you strip it for me? I was like, what? You know how many hours I spent on stripping the piece, sanding it, and then restoring it and painting it? And some pieces, I mean, it is a lot of work, definitely. And like you ladies were saying, it often needs to sit there for a while because it is maybe just a limited market. But you know what? Every time then I do have somebody who comes and loves it, it just makes me happy because I'm like, you know what? Sure. It also depends. Do you have to live off the money you make, you know, with it? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like, you know, a side hustle or, you know, all these things play around, you know,
I don't think unique pieces would pay the mortgage, would they really? Right, they might pay for the holiday, but they won't pay for the mortgage.
Right.
Well, that's a glass half full. You're going to enjoy a nice holiday with that. Great discussion today on refinishing unique pieces. I hope we see many more unique pieces embedded in the feeds as a result. And we'll know that maybe that's not for profit, but certainly for a good break from the traditional pieces that everybody's fixing. And so make sure you check out our show notes to follow Katie and these incredible refinishers, Michelle, Amy, and Kat. We congratulate all three of you. You guys did an incredible job. It was just beautiful. And it's so much fun seeing these pieces that really we're not used to seeing in the feed. So we enjoyed that greatly as well. And then, of course, congratulations again to all three of you. And then, Katie, we appreciate you coming back on the podcast to congratulate our winners and participate in the conversation. We're grateful to have you as a Zebra Review judge. Thanks so much, everyone. We hope you all have a great day.
Thank you, Lane. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Lane.
Thanks, ladies. Have a good day.
This week's refinishing tip comes from Cindy with Cindy's Painted Brush.
Hi, my name is Cindy Leach from Cindy's Painted Brush. My tip for the day would be, when you finish your piece and before you let it go to its new home, make sure the underside is clean and neat as the rest of the piece. Envision what the new owner will see as they slide that piece of furniture on its back or side into their vehicle. Make sure all bottom edges are painted evenly with no drips. Always make sure you sand those little oops off to neaten up the under edges. It will show that you have taken all the steps to complete a true masterpiece. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Cindy's Painted Brush. Thank you and happy painting.
Great reminder, Cindy. Sometimes when you get to the end of a project, it's easy to short circuit those last minute things that really are critical to wrapping up a refinished piece. The community of refinishers that has grown over the years consists of artists from all around the world. We thought it would be fun to hear from a few of our friends today as they share where they live and what they are working on in their studios this week.
Hi there from Michigan. This is Leanne with All About the Paint. This week, I am working on refinishing a mid-century bedroom set.
Hi, this is Alisa from Texas with Home Grove Designs. And this week, I am working on refinishing desks that I am creating for our new homeschool room.
Hi, this is Kim in Virginia with Duly Restored. This week, I am working on finishing up a mid-century modern chest of drawers that I am refinishing for my daughter. I found this dresser for $20, and I was able to strip it back and found some beautiful wood grain on the front drawers and was going to try and keep them natural, but turns out that the veneers were different colors, and so I used my zebra fan brush to paint by hand the whole dresser, and I absolutely love that zebra fan brush. It works great, and I'm just about finished and about to reveal it.
Hi, this is Jody in New Jersey with Renewed by the Sea. This week I am working on a small three drawer maple dresser. Thanks for including me. Have a great day.
Hi, it's Jen in Massachusetts with Made with Her Hands, and this week I am working on refinishing a giant Ethan Allen dresser. It's 70 inches long, 6 drawers, 2 cabinets, and right now I am updating the base. Thanks so much.
Thanks for sharing, Leanne, Alisa, Kim, Jody, and Jen. The Zebra Review category theme for August is dressers. Our featured judge is Katie Cloud with Katie Company and Home. If you have refinished a dresser from January 1st through September 30th of 2023, simply use the hashtag ZebraDressers. Katie will pick her 5 favorites, then the remaining judges, Lauren with Portland Row Living and Jen with Perfectly Imperfect Furniture, will vote out of Katie's selections to choose the 3 winners. This month's prize sponsors are The Real Milk Paint Company, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Painting. Our Zebra Staging Contest with Jen and Amanda of the Vintage Sisters for September is on until the end of the month. All you have to do to enter is post your pieces with the hashtag ZebraStaging. Jen and Amanda, along with our 3 winners for August, will review the hashtag the 1st of October and choose 3 winners. The winners will be chosen based on the effectiveness of the staging, and this covers the quality of the piece refinished, how the pieces are staged with a particular style of furniture presented, and last but not least, the quality of the photography. The 3 winners will receive a special framed award, zebra paintbrushes, and appear on our podcast. Also, the 3 September winners will co-judge with Jen and Amanda for October's staging contest. Thanks for joining us. We are grateful for each of you. All links to artists will be in this week's show notes. We can't tell you how encouraged we are when we hear from you or when we read your reviews on one of the podcast directories. Speaking of podcast directory reviews, would you consider leaving one on your favorite directory if you haven't already? This helps tremendously in our ability to reach more people as well. It is a big boost to our ranking. As a thank you for leaving a review, we would like to send you a small gift. Simply screenshot your review and email it to me, laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Put podcast review in the subject heading and include your full name and mailing address.